Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to continue in our series about talking about understanding creative financing, the strategies used, and the pros and cons of each. So the last couple episodes, we went over the different strategies. And on our very last episode, we talked about does the title transfer, is there a foreclosure process for default, who's responsible for taxes, is there a due on sale clause, who's responsible for maintenance and repairs, and is there a closing and transfer tax? So now on this episode, we're going to kind of go over some examples of each and dive in a little deeper for each strategy.
Let's go through, this will be our example, and we'll tweak it just a little bit for each one of these, because we can't use all of these strategies for one example, right? The existing debt will make a difference for some of these strategies. So this is going to be interesting. This is directly one of our leads. So I don't want to confuse you, but this is four houses on one lot. And they are rentals, basically. There's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, a 1-bed, 1-bath, and 2-bed, 1-baths. At one point, 3 out of the 4 were rented for $1,800 a month. The fourth one needs a pretty complete renovation. And then probably 2 others need some work. And they've got separate utilities, and the pro forma rents would probably be around $2,400, maybe $2,500 a month. The taxes are $3,762 for the year. And the seller is asking $110,000. So, what I want to do is I want to look at how we can use some of these strategies and when we would use them. So the one question you probably have, Jonathan, is what's owed on the property, right? So, yeah. Let's say for example one, nothing is owed. So now we can use trust deed and note, right? So, yep. And he's asking $110,000. Could we structure something where maybe we're even giving him a little more, right? But the way that I look at this is that this is a rental, right? So good potential rents compared to the price, but there's going to need to be some renovation, some work put into this. So, and that work could be $50,000, $60,000 or more $1,000. And so that is the case. But when I'm looking at structuring something like this, I'm looking at one of two things. One is, can I put financing in place where I can get in light, and I can keep my financing for a significant term, so I don't have to go to the bank and get bank conventional financing. Mm-hmm. But if I have a lot of work to put in, that would mean that I got to do the work and leave my money in the property, right? So even if I got into this property for $5,000 down, if I now have to put $60,000 into it, I can't, you know, does it make sense to have a 5-year or 10-year term if I can't get my money back out? Now I'd have to leave it there.
Yeah.
So the goal would probably be to get long enough financing to, now the goal would be to get long enough financing to do the repairs, get them all rented, and then based on the after repaired value, refinance. So the Burr method, right? So, and whether you love the Burr method or you don't, at least the, if you're going to own rentals and use bank financing, to me, at least you're not using any of your own money. You're recouping all your money. So you're able to accumulate more rentals, right?
Yep.
So in this case, we would just create a trust deed and note directly to the seller for, let's say, hey, Mr. Seller, we'll offer you $120,000 for the property, and we'll give you $6,000 down, and we'll pay you, I don't know, $500 a month. Now, could we pay more? Could we afford to pay more?
Yeah.
If we can get the rents up to $2,400, we've got quite a bit of leeway, right? I mean, taxes are going to run maybe $325 a month. Insurance might be, you know, more like $100 a month. Maybe there's some utility and management fees. So maybe we're at $750, $800 a month, right?
Uh-huh.
And expenses, that means that if we work backwards, we take $2,400 minus our expenses, we're left with $1,600, right?
Okay.
That means that, hey, between the $1,600, I can offer some to my seller as payment and some to me as cash flow.
Right.
So if we got $500 accepted, that leaves us with like $1,100 a month cash flow. And even with the 60 grand that we'd have to put in it, the cash on cash return would be pretty significant.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Could we just offer principal only?
You could, yeah.
Could we offer them interest only?
Yes.
Could we offer them interest, principal and interest?
Yeah, an amortized loan or a hybrid.
Certainly could. Yeah. Yeah. So if we pull out our financial calculator.
Okay. Pull it out, guys, if you got it.
And let's just play around with this. So
okay,
we have 120 that we're saying that we'd offer them 120.
Okay.
Minus, with like $5,000 down, right?
Yes, a 115.
115. Let's say 4%.
4% interest.
Okay. Amortized over 30 years.
360 for in. That'll put our payment at 549.03. So that's kind of close right there. Now let's go a little lower to make it 5.
All right. 3.5%.
0.5% interest.
Okay. Now remember, we're probably not doing this that long, right? So yeah, how long do you think, Jonathan, that we've got to structure this term?
3 to 5 years.
Well, remember that if we do it that way, we're going to leave our money in it. Now, if you're making $1,100 a month, and you've now got, let's say, $65,000 in it, 1,100 times 12 is 13,200.
Okay.
Divided by 65,000, that's a 20% return on your investment.
Pretty good.
But do you want to leave all that money in this property?
No.
So more than likely the goal would be to refinance sooner rather than later, correct?
Yep.
So how long do you think we need?
Long enough to bring our loan to value to 80%.
So really what we've got to be cognizant of is, hey, are any of these tenants on leases and for how long? And, you know, we don't want all these houses sitting vacant while we're making a payment. We could still be making income from it. If two, probably even one or two are rented. So my guess is I would shoot for like 24 months. So, you know, we've got a full year to, you know, if people are on a year lease that we can leave them there, we can renovate the units that are vacant or become vacant. And basically after 12 months, if we're done, we could probably go for the refinance. If we're not, then you know, we still have time to get it done. So probably 18 to 24 months would be a good term.
Yeah, 18 to 24, okay.
So let me ask you, does it truly matter if your payment is 549 or 516?
No.
I mean, really, it does not, right? Yeah. To be honest, what I'd rather do is say I'm going to pay you 120 and I'll pay you 750 a month, but principal only for 24 months.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Right. So that would put us at, if we went the whole 24, we'd take off $18,000 more from the principal. And remember, we upped the price by 10 grand. So we would like to earn that back.
Okay.
Because he's asking 110, we're offering 120, right?
Right.
So this would be a way to structure a trust deed and note where basically we can offer anything that we want in this case because there's no debt owed. So I could do a trust deed and note for longer term. I could do it for shorter term. I could do it for little to no money up front. I could do it for more money up front. Right. I could do it, as we talked about, interest only, principal and interest, principal only. And basically all of them could work to some degree, right? Yeah. The only negative is that $60,000 in potential renovation costs, right? So can you think of any other way that maybe you'd want? I mean, could this work for subordination? Could it work? It's not going to work for subject to. We could do it as contract for deed. We could do it as a lease option. I wouldn't recommend it. And the reason that I wouldn't is that I learned a lesson. This was seriously in the first month that I ever got into real estate. Don't repair houses you do not own. So you don't want to go put 60 grand into a house that you don't own.
No, you don't. And if you did a seller subordination.
I don't want to get into that right now because we'll come back to it based on, you know, a different example. But we could make several of these different strategies work for this. When it's free and clear, we have a lot of we have a lot of options.
Yeah, sky's the limit.
Right. So we certainly could make this work one way or the other, as long as you know. To me, the biggest issue is, hey, could it really rent for $2,500 a month? I would assume that it can. I did some research on that. How much work does it really need, right? You know, is it in an area that we can keep these rentals full? Is it a appreciating market? Is it, you know, a stagnant market? All of those kinds of things. But on paper, it looks like a pretty solid deal, correct?
Yep. Yeah, it does.
I mean, if you were into this for, let's say, 100, and if we did interest only, or not interest only, principal only at 750, we would owe the seller 97 plus 60, right? Plus what we put into the property, plus 60. That would put us at 157. You know, would this property be worth 200,000? There's a good chance to think that it would, just based on the cash flow. There's very good chance. What if it wasn't?
Well, if it wasn't worth that much,
yeah,
you might want to rethink your offers then. And how
much it's probably something that we'd want to confirm before, right?
Yeah,
but we could do that during our due diligence. And
you don't want to buy it for 110 or 120, and that's what it's worth fixed up. If you're going to put 60,
the chances of four houses that bring in that kind of rent, you know, it just would not be worth, you know, 110 grand, right? Yeah. If it actually would bring in 2,400, you know, that to me, the least that it would be worth is maybe 180, depending on what market you're in. And I'm sorry, but I don't see any prices when you can actually achieve those rents that the value would be much less. So, but what if it was, what if it was 180? Is that a deal breaker? Yeah, you'd probably have to leave 20 grand into it. Let's say if it was worth 180 and you could finance 80%, that's 144. So what that we thought we'd be into it for 157. Plus, let's say some closing costs, right? So 160. So we're into it for 16,000. What do you think we can get a non-owner occupied loan for right now, Jonathan?
As far as percentage?
Yeah.
4.5, 5.
Okay, so let's do 4.75.
Yep.
Okay, so our payment would be 751, basically the same payment that we've been paying.
Yeah, you're paying the seller 750, yeah.
We're making $850 a month cash flow, right, times 12. It's 10,200. We're thinking we're leaving $16,000 in it, right?
Yeah.
Divided by 16,000. 63.8% return on your investment. So even if we don't get all of our money back out, it still might be worthwhile.
Yeah. And even if, you know, with the BRRRR strategy, if you don't get all your money out, at least you're into the property a lot less than, you know, your typical 20% down.
Right.
And that's the whole point of utilizing that strategy is you're able to get into properties after you refinance for a lot less down than the 20%, if you're not able to get all your money back.
Now, could we just have offered, you know, 110 as our purchase price and then maybe made a cash offer of around 90? We could. So trustee to note definitely works here, and we've got lots of options. What I think we'll do, how long has this episode gone?
Somewhere around 20 minutes,
I think. All right. So this is going to take longer than I had anticipated to go through all these. So why don't we break it off here,
okay.
And then we'll try to get through two other strategies next episode
that we can use on the same property.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, guys, well, hopefully you're able to follow along here with your calculator, because really this is how you implement it, this is how it's applied to deals out there. And this is, you know, a real lead for Jeff. And so hopefully this helps you understand more on what strategies to use and, you know, how they apply. Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, please reach us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called the Creative Financing Podcast. Please join that group and help us build our community. You can find all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That's our archive. And if you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, it's a wholesaling based nationwide program. And he has an accelerated course and then a go at your own pace course. Definitely hit him up and you can get more info from Rebecca. If you email her, that's R-E-B-E-C-C-A at weofferoptionswithans.com. And then lastly, if you guys want to get into the Creative Financing Academy, that is a, you know, it's a video-based course where you know, what we're doing on this show is exactly what you learn in the course, where you're able to watch a video and Jeff shows you, walks you through step by step how he's coming up with these offers and the exit strategies you could use to make a profit on these deals. So, and if you're not interested in getting in the academy or you just want a taste of what it's like, definitely hit up Jeff for the free video. He'll give you a link for that. That's J-E-F-F at weofferoptionswithans.com. So if you want to join the academy, please send him an email, or if you just want that video and then after you want to join the academy, hit him up there. Anything I missed, Jeff?
I don't think so. I think you covered it all. It's a mouthful. Awesome.
Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.